and sanctification and honor. The word furthermore should have been translated as finally. And it has to do with all of that we studied about holiness, the unblameable, and abounding in love. And so then he says, and finally, we beseech you, we beg of you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. We've talked forever. Furthermore, beseech is beg. Brethren is adelphos, which means of the same Father. That's an important criteria. Exhort is, we've studied exhort till we've exhorted. It's caused to pass from one state of being to another. What's going on?
What's his name? Trying to start to come in the door and then you turn around and walk away.
What's his name?
Travis.
All right. That as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Walk is the word that doesn't have anything to do with walking. It's peripatio, and it means how you conduct your life, inner and outer. That you would abound to exceed much more than you could imagine, and then even more than that. And please, let's look at please for a minute. It's a word that means to stir up, to do what is ever is necessary. If you were baking something, and you were preparing bread, or better yet, you were preparing cinnamon rolls, and you have all the stuff you put in the batter, and then you stir it until it's smooth. Until it's the same, it's of the same thing. And so when we stir up our minds, it means that we stir, and there's all kinds of fire and ice and arguments and fear and everything else while it's being stirred until there is one mind, until we are of one mind, of one accord. So that's whatever we see when it talks about that you please God, it means to stir up. All right? And you got to stir it up, not just externally. That's just child's play. The stirring up is internal. And that's why the idea of, again, it's only for those out of the same Father, and it's by Seder groups. First, there's always normally married couples in the Seder. So it's first in the marriage, then in the minyan or the Seder group, then in the larger body, and then finally everywhere. And that's how it expands and abounds more and more and more. So I could spend forever on that.
Formation of a hurricane. I don't know,
it's probably the same thing. Let's go to Romans 8.
What is about all that that pleases God?
Well, what does it say? That you, as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God. Okay, what about, now, you understand what is it that you don't understand?
Oh, I just say in the question so I can think about it.
See, like stir up God? Or I mean, what's the trend?
You're stirring up your mind.
And who are we receiving from?
How to please Him.
Who are we receiving from?
God. Well, in this case, you received of, it's a doctrine that he received of Paul, or they received of Paul, which is always the same doctrine.
I'm thinking in terms of a body, where it's, when you stir up a body, you get everything out there that it might be mixed together. And when the body is one, I would say that pleases God.
That's what it is.
I'm just saying it.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that is what pleases God. It makes, and I can sense that. You know, one person being stirred up, fine. But that's not a body. That's not a bride. So that's.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Romans 8. Let's start with verse 5. Everybody there? For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, we're going to get to please God here in a minute, but or to what it means to please, but does everybody understand what it means to be after the flesh or after the Spirit? It's fundamentally seeing through and seeing at. It's fundamentally being in. It's seeing that your life is hid in Christ. If Christ is in you and you're trying to do the things and you're still struggling, then you're still carnal. Until you see that not only is Christ in you, you are in Him. And so, but if you're in the flesh, trying to do the religious world thing. Trying to match up something or try to accomplish anything here in the Bible, then you are still in the flesh. Most people start out that way as believers. You believe in Him, and so then you try to do it, and it doesn't work too well. Then you have to either come to the end of that, or you have to become an actor or an actress to act like you're doing it. All right.
I just want to comment. To the religious mind, that's the highest and holiest thing that can be done. One of the best ways in the world to try and match up your behavior with this book. That's what makes it so dangerous.
Yeah, and it's a farce. It's a Pharisee. Because you can't do it. But you have to act like you're doing it. Masquerading. Huh?
Why?
Because they don't know what else to do. And they're afraid of condemnation from somebody. So they sit around and act like they're doing it. But inside, they're a roaring lion inside because there's all kinds of stuff going on. All right. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind... That means all of our mind, your mind. The carnal mind is enmity against God, and that's the strongest form of hate, enmity. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Your mind cannot do this. Your mind cannot have anything about it, except to see the emptiness and vanity and hopelessness of all other things. What?
That's hilarious. Carnal means meat.
Why not?
It's the meat mind. It puts it in its proper context.
So carnal means meat?
Carnal means meat.
The meat on your head.
Dead meat. M-E-A-T.
M-E-A-T has no...
You're a hunk of meat. Your mind is a just hunk of bunch of chemicals mixed together. Your brain is. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You can stir up till hell freezes over, but if you're still doing it after the flesh, you cannot please God. That's what we're reading Romans 8 for, okay? Let's go to Romans 15. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. Again, please. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So to please God, you cannot please men. If you yet pleased men, you should not be the servant of God. Let's go look at that one, Galatians 1.
Is that a different word?
No.
Stir up?
Well, it means to stir up to please, yeah. Ephesians chapter 1. Galatians. I'm sorry. Galatians chapter 1. And just let's look at verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. The scriptures have a lot to say about men pleasers. It's vain, empty, and you're doing it because probably some out of either fear or idolatry or guilt. You're trying to please people. It just proves you haven't seen the mystery. All right? One more. No, that's enough. Back to Thessalonians. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. The word commandments isn't like this kind of thing. It's a word that means charges, like as in a military, a squad was given a particular duty by his captain, or by their captain, to accomplish something. It's the word paraglia. It's better translated, really, as announcement. You know what? And what does he say? For you know what charges we gave you by the Lord. You know what announcements we gave you. We know what. Oh. It's not like, I don't know how to tell you.
It's like exhortation.
It's sort of like the same word, isn't it? Evangelism or good news or something like that, which is an announcement kind of thing.
Yeah, well, it's more than that, though. It's It's like that, but it's an announcement that there's 100% surety it's going to be done. It's going to happen. It's its own strength. It's its own dynamic. And it's something that is. You know, I could say if let's assume if I were leaving and going away, and I said. If you yet please men, you could not be the servant of God. You would find that out eventually, not because it was an order, but because it was the way the thing is. You understand the difference? It's not something that you obey because it's something. It's something that you would come to the knowledge of because it's the way the thing is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so they kind of used the wrong word in that sense there.
Well, that's, the Bible didn't, but the translators did. Right. Yeah.
The commandment is something right. to do, whereas a proclamation or whatever you're trying to say is
going to happen. It's just a what is.
Yeah.
All right. And here's the what is that is so controversial. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And I don't feel like talking anymore, but that's what we're going to study tomorrow, if the creek don't rise, about what it means. That this is the will of God. That's kind of important. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. John found out a long time ago, remember, that what abstain meant, be fed up with. But we're going to look in a little bit differently tomorrow. All right? I don't feel like talking. I'm not hurting, but my mind is blah, blah. I don't know what's going on. I had another Bible study at 6 o'clock this morning, and I think I'm worn out from that.
With yourself?
No. With one of your charges. Take it, big guy.